Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. It is not Tuesday night. It is not 8:30 on the East Coast. It is not 7:30 in Texas. But we are here live on Facebook for you and your enjoyment. And we're here because we had technical problems and scheduling problems on Tuesday at our normal time. So now we're here to do our episode that we started to do with the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to all our listeners. We thank you for joining us once again this week as we take on the topics that you decide on Twitter and hopefully give you the due time required to create discussion and dialogue and to spark that interest for us to take also help others empower themselves. So as Carl said, we apologize for what happened on Tuesday. This is something that is becoming a well-known dilemma in our world, and that's called technical difficulties. We've been experiencing that here, and Carl has been experiencing that there in Virginia. But long story short, Carl, what was the poll?
Okay, hold on one second. I'm getting it ready. I'm going to throw it up here so we look professional. It says that it's once again this week. It's time to do this week's poll for what the topic on Raw Islam will be for this week's episode. If you would like to take part in this poll, make sure you follow us on Venn Network on Twitter. That's V-E-N-N Network. And that's our Twitter address. But the choices were this week, and I've already messed this up. The choices were this week, caring for those in need, making donations, and cranberry sauce. Is canned okay? And the audience picked making donations, and the reason that this was on the topic this week was because Tuesday, when we were supposed to be on, was Giving Tuesday. And Giving Tuesday, everybody asks for donations, and we go out and we make lots of donations. I know this year LaunchGood was actually matching. So LaunchGood went and they said for the person who makes, you know, makes the most, we'll give them 20,000, and the person who has the most donors, we'll give them 20,000. So Tuesday was Giving Tuesday, and that's what happened, and that's why we talked about giving and making donations. And with that, back to you, sir.
Well, thank you for that. And Carl, just to express my inner feelings in regards to what we saw this Giving Tuesday. Personally, I dread Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is a month I dread, not because of the fasting or the night prayers, but because the continuous appeals that happen within those 30 days. You'd be surprised if, I'm no longer surprised that in the month of Ramadan, we easily have 20, 25, 30, or if we double up, we can successfully get 40 to 45 different organizations coming around to various communities and mosques asking for donations. Now, of course, they solicit these donations because it's a month of Ramadan, it's a month of giving, it's a month in which people open up their hearts, and of course, they give their zakat, which is a 2.5% compulsory donation, which Muslims give on an annual basis. Now, again, there is nothing wrong with appealing. There's nothing wrong with giving. But Carl, this Giving Tuesday that just passed, it blew my mind because every second Facebook post, every single WhatsApp message that you received, I received from people that I don't get messages from on a daily, weekly basis, was donate towards this cause, donate towards that cause. So what I want to address tonight is, of course, I want to hear your thoughts, the listeners, as to what you feel you experience once you see all these different organizations asking for funds. Is it overwhelming, or is it something that you deem necessary and it doesn't matter how many people ask for money? But beyond that, I want to talk about what's the best way of giving and how we as a people can work constructively. Let's start with number two. No doubt there are many organizations out there. Some are in some are organizations that promote issues and matters which happen. They're of the spur of the moment. Something's happening in Yemen, or there's a tsunami in Indonesia. So people take the opportunity to promote this as a cause that someone should donate towards. It's all great. There are other organizations that are trying to address local issues. Some are addressing issues that many of us don't consider to be an issue. For example, opioid crisis or domestic. But Carl, before I go more deeper into this, that was my experience. That was my feel and take of Giving Tuesday, that it surpassed the entire month of Ramadan of people asking, people talking about doubling up. And Chris, a good dear friend of mine from Launch Good, kudos to him and his team for doing such an amazing job. The fact that they gave out $100,000, that's what they pitched, and they gave it out in those criteria that you had just mentioned. Amazing job to Chris and Launch Good, and may Allah bless them all. But Carl, what do you do when there are so many people asking for money? Do you get overwhelmed, or do you feel that it's fine? They should have the right to ask.
So much like Islam as a whole, everything needs to be done in moderation. And I know this is something that I struggle with, and it's something that I know organizations struggle with, because especially with what I do, you know, just standing on the street corner and shouting repeatedly, give me your money, give me your money, give me your money, give me your money, you start to blend in and you sound like everybody else. So the delivery has to change so that you're keeping the attention and everything like that. But yeah, it's real easy to become overwhelmed. It's very easy to become overwhelmed. And, you know, how many, I mean, I know it wasn't Giving Tuesday, but Cyber Monday. I saw so many tweets and I saw so many people that were like, if I get one more damn email about this, what I'm going to save and how much money there is there, he's like, I'm just going to delete everything off my phone, because you get inundated with this stuff. You as an organization or you as a person may think, oh, I'm just sending one email, it's no big deal. But you're not factoring in the other 500 people that have just sent that same email with the same context. So yeah, it's easy to become overwhelmed.
And that's a factor, I think, that is, that's a determining factor. If someone feels overwhelmed, the likelihood of them donating, the likelihood of them shopping, like if Macy's sends me 5 emails during the course of Cyber Monday, a few hours left, get this deal, I don't want anything from Macy's. So yes, sometimes I feel I should just spam those emails. And I'm just giving them as an example because I do get a lot of their emails. But of course, Dick's Sport Good and everyone else that's out there, that you go to the store, you purchase someone, they ask you for your email, your receipt is being printed or your transaction is being completed, you naively put your email in. Next thing you know, every day you're getting an email. Even from my local grocery store, they had Cyber Monday at Kroger's. And I'm like, my Allah, like even they have Cyber Monday. It's like, how much more cheaper do eggs have to be for me to get up in my pajamas and run to the store to grab some more eggs just because it's Cyber Monday? But let me say something in regards to that. I feel, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same, but if you don't or you feel differently, do leave us a comment right now and we'll address it. Number one, I feel that every organization that is coming up has good intentions. They understand the importance of serving humanity. They understand the importance of solving a problem. They realize the importance of helping someone stand back up on their feet, maybe the Haitians after earthquake in Haiti or the Indonesians after tsunami. It's all good stuff. But good thoughts and good ideas aren't always good. And let me explain this. I have a good idea that I want to eliminate poverty from my city. It's a good idea. And my thought is I'm going to go out there and start knocking on everyone's door and saying, do you have extra food tonight that I can go give to someone who may need it? It's a good idea and it's a good thought and it's a good gesture. But does it help? Maybe not. So what I feel is every organization that's coming up, my opinion is that every single organization should have buy-in by at least 100 people who can be dedicated donors to their cause. Because what we're seeing now is a lot of cost goes into operational expense. And when you have that factor of operational expense, now people say, look, if I'm going to give Indonesia $400,000 out of the $1 million I raise, yes, $600,000 goes into our operational expenses. But guess what? They're $400,000 richer than they were before. I would disagree. Because what you're doing is, yes, you're giving Indonesia $400,000 that they didn't have. Yes, you did, granted. But guess what? You're putting people on a position where $600,000 is covering their costs, their expenses, marketing, strategy, planning, travel, etc., etc., etc. But what's the longevity of that? Just say that the money doesn't continue coming in or there's no tragedy for you to address in the next year or so. Where do those people go? Because these are not sporadic workers. These are not people that you can find on the streets and tell them just do this job. These are people who are looking for long-term employment. They're looking for a stable job. So number one, if you are launching an organization, if you're pitching something, you need to sell it to the people around you first. Carl, you know, one of the things that really bothers me, if someone comes from across the country and says, we're building a masjid in our area, we need help with the finances. My question is to you, if you come to my masjid and you do a presentation, say, Alhamdulillah, we started the mosque when we were 10 people, and now we have 3,000 people. There is no space in that small area. So we're building this humongous mosque to accommodate them. My question is a simple one. Why are you coming to me for? If you have 3,000 people in your congregation, I'm confident those 3,000 people see the need. And for them to see the need is more better. And it's imperative for them to see the need more than I would see the need, because I may not travel to that part of the land, nor may I ever pray in that place. So the need is there. There must be a problem. Either there is 300,000 people who can pray, but they're not praying, or there's 3,000 people that can pray, but they're not praying, or there's 3,000 people who want a facility, but not a $4 million facility. So these are really important questions to ask, because we're seeing a rise in organizations, in causes, and it's too much. It really is too much. And the second thing, Carl, before I give it back to you, before I address point number one, was how to give on Giving Tuesday or in Ramadan or any other time. The second point is, in the Muslim community especially, and I don't want to say this for any other organization, but I want to say in our Muslim community especially, there is so much overlap, so much. And Carl, I'm not going to take names, I'm not going to take organizations, but I'm just going to say one thing, that if there is a cause or a crisis happening somewhere, why can't all organizations collaborate to allow one of them or different resources from all of them to address that cause? Why do we have to go 180 on a cause and forget the other work we're doing? You know, The problem is that we lack that consistency. We're working towards a solution. You can't keep on going to a solution and say, hey, look over there, there's a cow. Hey, look over there, there's a horse. What happened to where you were going? Keep focused. If there is an organization that can help Syrian refugees relocate, establish their lives, stand up on their feet, I don't think we need five organizations doing the same thing. I think we need one of them doing it constructively or all five of them doing it in a certain area. Let me give you an example. In Florida, and I won't name the area, there was so many organizations working on relief and aid for 40 plus families that relocated to that area. And when we dug deep, we found out the funds were all going to the same thing. You're paying the rent and you're paying the rent and you're subsidizing income and you're subsidizing and you're subsidizing income. What about their transportation? What about ESL classes? What about getting them a driver's license? What about getting them a job? No, we're just subsidizing. No, if you're doing that, you're all making the situation worse. Either one organization channels the funds to help a family of four find a job, get to school, make sure that they're making enough income. If they're not making enough income, but they're working, subsidize their income for 6 months to make sure that they get ahead financially, or they get established on their feet while you're teaching them English, you're teaching them their driving skills, helping them get a car. So off you go, you're good to go. But if we find all organizations doing the same thing, the question is, how come the problem isn't getting solved? It's like what Imran Khan said to Donald Trump in response to Trump's tweet about the $100 billion plus they gave to Pakistan for counterterrorism. And he said that, the $20 billion-plus that they gave. And Imran Khan responded that, you gave us this, yes, but we spent over $110 billion of our own to tackle terrorism. And if you're saying you did such a good job, why are the Taliban stronger today than they were in 2001? A simple question. I'm using the same analogy. If we're all helping in Yemen or in the Horn of Africa, or we're helping in Syria, how come the problem is continuing to deteriorate? So the point is simple. Work together. Stop overlapping. Stop feeling that I can do the job better than that person is. If you feel you can, then collaborate to have a dynamic impact, make a dent, if not impact the situation and bring forth solutions. But we cannot see overlap anymore, because all it does is take away the credibility of what you're doing, and ultimately the credibility of the cause itself. Carl?
So I will add one thing, and then I'm going to throw it back to you because I have a question. But, you do have to watch these organizations with their overhead costs, because I know for me personally, I there's actually a couple of veterans organizations that are very well known, and they take care of, you know, sick veterans, and they take care of, you know, amputees and things like that. And it came out what their actual overhead cost was versus what they're spending on programs. And there was a disparaging difference. And for that kind of stuff, do your homework. Go check out Charity Navigator, because they have, and they'll tell you how much goes to admin and how much goes to the field. Now, I'm not saying that every organization is like that, and there are overhead costs, and the people that work there do need to get paid. But if 10 cents on the dollar is getting to the field, that's a problem. Now, Imam Azhar, you were saying that there's so many organizations doing relief work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I hear from that is that there is an increase in the need mm-hmm. for relief aid and relief emergency, and not just here, I mean, not just overseas for Syrian refugees and things like that, but even here in the United States. What I'm hearing is that the need for that is increasing. So I think what I would ask you is, why is that? Why is the need increasing, do you think?
Well, again, there are many factors when need increases. When poverty is on a rise here in America, it's due to many factors. GM is going to be shutting down plants. Of course, their wordage was very interesting, but they're going to basically 14,000 people are going to lose their jobs. So when they lose their jobs, they will not have the financial means to pay their bills, to buy their groceries. So one of the factors is the continuous evolving of the situation within our country and the world, which makes those needs grow. But at the same token, for those who are well-versed, this is their job, this is their commitment towards crisis management and to help mitigate that situation and help those people get through that problem, they should have a well-written book now of what to do, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Boom, 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 boom. Go through with it, and this is how we're going to solve the problem. When we had our hurricane in 2004, which was Hurricane Charley, I remember after that, FEMA did a lot of work to put together a hurricane manual and a guide. What to do when something is possibly becoming a hurricane? What to do then once that hurricane is going towards your city? What supplies do you need? How do you fill up your bathtub or tub or pots? Like, the whole nine yards was pulled up, put together. Why? Because this situation could repeat itself somewhere else, and thus we need to have what we call a plan of action. So when we have these relief organizations that are not putting forth that plan of action, what concerns me is, where is that time really going? Because you can't throw money down like President Bush did with the people in Hurricane Katrina. They contracted people literally millions of dollars. Take these streets and clean it up, and there's like $1 million. And what you do is, like, you'd subsidize it. You would kind of outsource it to other people, make them do the dirty job, give them $10,000 each, and you're walking home with a lot of money. This is what the talk of the town was, what happened in Louisiana. So point is, there is a concern when we see a problem only continue to increase while the money is continuing to flood in, and it too is increasing. It's not like the money or the resources are declining, rather they're increasing. So where is the problem, and how come we're not solving it? That's a point I think we need to discuss. Before we get to the question, Carl, I want to address point number one. How do you give at these times? My humble suggestion is the following. Just say you're willing to give $200 on Giving Tuesday or during Ramadan to an organization that you love. This is how I suggest you should do it. Take 100 of that sum and give it to the organization that you love, you're committed to, or you're a part of. And I hope that organization is local, where you can see its impact, you can see the growth, you can see the change, and you could be a part of it, because charity starts at home, Carl, and we have to really fix situations here. I'm not saying people overseas are not in need. There are many crises happening that we need to address also, but there is a long haul looming crisis here at home that needs to be addressed also. As for the remaining $100, for all the other organizations that come that you feel they're doing a good job, give $10 to each of them. So you can now end up giving to 11 organizations, one to the one that you believe in, and 10 more to the one that you feel are doing a good job. So this is my advice when it comes to Giving Tuesday and every other organization that continues to ask for funds. And what's sad, Carl, there are certain organizations that they do a good job, they post about it, and then they say, give us money now. Well, you ask money before you did the job, then you ask money after you did the job. Like, what? How much more money do you need? I think we need to leave for a later time the discussion of how come we cannot manage our funds and become self-sufficient. That's a discussion for another day. But please, remember, if you're an organization that's constantly begging for money, and I'm going to use the word begging for money, you're losing your credibility. Back to you, Carl.
I know you have some place to be right now. So on that note, we will close this episode. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank everybody for watching. I want to thank you, everybody, for downloading this and watching it on YouTube later if you're joining us after we've been live. Head over to vennetwork.org to see the rest of our shows and to see more content, blog posts, videos, and other podcasts. I'd like to thank Imam Azhar for taking time to join us. I would also like to remind you that if you would like to support the network and support the fine shows like this and the fine hosts like Imam Azhar, you can head over to vennetwork.org and get yourself some cool swag like what I'm wearing right now. And you can also support us on Patreon for a myriad of different goals. And that brings me to the end of my sales pitch. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And
this has been a production of the Venn Network.